Hey everybody, Steph here. Listeners have let us know about a little confusion going into episode 2. And we're going to call that clock. Steph accidentally cut the end off episode 1. Oh no! In an effort to quickly release some entertainment in such strange times, we have jumped off of the diving board, cannonball style, into the shallow end of the podcast producing pool. Thank you for your patience with our learning curve and for bearing witness as we swim on into the murky waters of creativity. Brian will give us a quick recap and then you'll be ready for episode 2.
So what are we missing? Really, not a lot. Following their introduction to the Gazinski Bear, Zaika and Wester mingle with the assembled Scoves, drinking and carousing. Zaika finds an opportunity to pitch the job to Evgeny. They'll use their hull, a ghost-inhabited automaton, remember, to scour the canal for the banker's lost cargo in exchange for a fee. Evgeny accepts, and they agree to 8 coin. It is during this time, however, that Wester offers clumsy condolences to a young Skov whose partner was recently killed by the Bluecoats, and in doing so, manages to offend one of Evgeny's soldiers. This offense will come back to bite the Harvestmen in the next episode. Back at the garage, with the job acquired, Boom thinks it best to inspect Lukai's internal mechanisms to ensure they will not be damaged by prolonged immersion in the canal. Lukai cautions her that such an investigative procedure may have been the cause of death of a former colleague, though his damaged memory banks cannot know for certain. She nevertheless proceeds with caution, and comes away satisfied that Lukai is up to the task.
Thanks, Brian. So, now you're ready. Enjoy episode 2! Last week on The Harvestmen.
Constables nab smugglers as Skov invasion continues. The cargo is lying at the bottom of a canal.
That is indeed very fortunate, as I do not breathe air.
When they kill one of us, we all fight.
Give me some love. Guess we got a 3 again.
Ouchoo.
So we got heat and stress and no information.
Yeah, right. Well, it happens. We'll call him the Georgian Banker's head of the Department of Violence. Please, call me Evgeny. Were you invited?
We brought a dish.
So, without further ado, let's begin The Harvestmen.
Hey guys, welcome back.
So wait, no.
Hi, good to be here.
How was gaming with your other group?
Dumb. Let's go straight into the job. Okay. If I am recalling correctly, Aislinna had been tinkering with Lukai. That was eventful, but ultimately he's waterproof.
Useful.
Yes.
Yar.
And you guys, if I'm recalling correctly, you had a two-part plan, right? Zaika and Boom, right? We're going mm-hmm. to create essentially a distraction mm-hmm. and to draw or keep attention off of Lukai and Wester while you guys went spelunking or diving, more appropriately, for the crates.
Right. I believe that's correct. That's what I got.
Nice. So I think, and Biff, help me out with this, but I think what we're going to do is, there are two ways that we could do this. We could do your distraction as its very own job with an engagement role and all the stuff that encompasses, or we could just do it as a setup action, the result of which would then inform Lukai and Wester's engagement role, so that if their actions went well, you guys would have essentially a bonus to your engagement role to start things off on a more favorable footing.
It might also give us the possibility of joining back up
Oh, yes, certainly. I think you would have that. Score. I think you would have that regardless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Boom and I setting the distraction and then getting into some kind of mover's gear and getting up with our guys in the moving, you know, in like the, like as movers.
Yeah.
To hook up with them when they find the stuff.
Loving it.
All I had written down was, I'm going to set off some bombs in the opposite direction, downriver, to draw as many blue coats away from the bridge as possible.
Mm-hmm. That sounds super good. Biff, did Lukai or anybody acquire, no, you were given sort of a
map.
A sketchy map, right?
Yeah, we have a very loose map of what the route looked like, so I think we're basically going to start at that bridge that we identified and then work backwards upstream?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to set some bombs. What was your...
I see it going a couple of ways. I see it either that I could just be like driving the getaway truck for her to get her out of that space after the bombs, like as soon as she set the charges or whatever, so that I can drive us up to catch up with the guys. Or I could be there as like damsel in distress to make sure the blue coats pursue that bomb.
Por que no los dos? Sorry.
Why?
Does that mean why can't we do both?
Yeah, why not both?
That was excellently communicated.
Thank you. I've been practicing my ESL skills.
The power of subtext. You could also, like, if it's just a question of having, like, splitting the group, keeping you involved in this thing, you could also do a group action of rec, right? Which is what I assume you would want to use to set the bombs.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any rec.
Well, she can assist instead and spend a stress to give Boom an extra die.
Okay, great. So I love that.
There are ways to keep you involved, faux show.
If Zyka chooses, what is it, demolition tools? If she chooses the demolition tools, would you say that would provide an increased effect?
Mm. Yes, I would. Whoa. Well, to your rec. At this point, you guys are going to want to select your loadout. Either light, medium, or heavy load. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't have to select specifically all of the items that you have on you. You can just sort of check something off as you need it, and it's assumed to have always been with you. But you do have to decide how much you're carrying on your person.
If I am driving our vehicle, then I could pick a heavy load.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go light, only because we're like... feel like might have to get away quickly, but
yeah,
delightful.
You're on foot, that makes sense,
right?
For now, anyway.
Yeah,
are you on foot or are you guys taking the Arachna Ridge?
I'll be going in medium loaded. Cool,
delightful. So, are you guys gonna take one of the vehicles or be totally on foot?
I think it'd make sense to take one. What do you think?
Absolutely. We need to stock the weapons up into a vehicle.
Which one are you going to take? Who's going to take what?
We're taking the van, I assume.
Super. I mean, that was my assumption as well, but I didn't want to...
Yeah. Yeah, and like whatever tools of yours we have to take.
Mm-hmm.
Dig it. Totally dig it. Sweet. So without further ado, let's get into it. Michael.
Yes.
How do you feel about representing Wester's investigation into the whereabouts of his sister as a long-term project clock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so that's on you to spend downtime actions to tick off.
Okay.
You can always get additional actions by spending coin. And sometimes reputation, I believe, but that's we'll make yours six.
Great. So I think that when Boom and Zyka get out of the driver's portion of their carriage and go into the back where all the demolition supplies are. There's a note from Luke Kai that says, be safe.
Oh, what a haul.
What a haul.
Can it be on a post-it note stuck to a thing of McGillicuddy's industrial solvent?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, underneath it says, don't forget your mills.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Duskfall is always dark, right? You guys sort of have, you know, your choice of when you want to launch this job. Whenever you decide to go, you go. What do you think? Is it morning? Is it night? Middle of the day?
I think the more chaos in this moment of the boom, a little bit the better, but I don't want to hurt anybody. So I don't want us to set off a bomb when it's so busy that someone could get hurt. I would think maybe like mid-morning.
Nice. I like this. And it's maybe when people have their guard down a little bit more. Right?
Yeah, and like everybody who's working is working, so like there aren't a bunch of like extra people to just call in.
Sweet. So you guys head out your separate ways. Lukai and Wester head for the bridge where you're preparing to disembark. And Zaika and Boom head for the area that they intend to detonate their distraction device. Paint for me the picture a little bit of like where, what kind of place you're looking for as a target. Like in your mind, are you bringing down a building or a portion of a building, or like you causing
a... I talk her out of it.
Yeah, I'm literally like
a really loud dumpster fire, or
yeah, a dumpster fire, something just kind of like raw and like anarchistic and like scary. But what if what if it was like a terrorist threat? What if she like trying to create such a big of a deal?
Well, and you know what I think might be fun is to blow up a bridge.
Oh yeah,
something that like requires like Blue Coats to rush in to like stop the traffic and restore order.
In maximum inconvenience and like personnel needed to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Sweet. Genius. So the first thing then that I'm going to need you guys to do, you can do it either separately or as a group, but I think I'd like a stealth roll to see if you guys can get into position to set the explosives without attracting undue and wrong kind of attention. Wait, what is a prowl? Thank you. I'm always going to call it stealth. I'm always going to call it stealth.
Yeah.
I will never not call it stealth.
I have zero, so okay. I do it with disadvantage, right?
Or you can spend a stress to push yourself.
Take a devil's
bargain. What does the devil's bargain look like?
What does the devil's bargain look like? For an extra die in prowl.
Okay, yeah, tell me what it looks like.
I will start a clock entitled Blue Coat Patrol Wanders By. It will be a 4-segment clock. Are you guys doing this individually or as a group?
Remind me how that works again. Together. I assume together because we both don't have stealth.
Right. Do it up.
This is suboptimal.
Hey. All right. So you're going to take a stress for her failure.
Yep.
But yes. Oh, okay. So
it goes quite well.
That'll do it. I have ticked one segment.
That's exactly what I rolled.
Of the clock?
Yeah, I rolled 6 and 1, dude.
Oh, 6 and 2. Okay, one tick the clock.
Yep.
Nice roll.
You guys get her done. How does this go? How do you guys stealth prowl into position? Is it like literally sneaking? Do you hide in plain sight?
Yeah, we hide in plain sight. Take me through. I pulled the van over, like checking some, like a tire.
We pull the ramp out. We put like a
little cone, a light, like a little flare on the road, like, uh-oh. So like, oh, we're, yeah. And we're
a lantern, inspect- maybe.
Yeah. And we're inspecting the wheel well when, in fact, she's sneaking off, to, and I'm lookout.
Yeah.
And, oh, my carriage, oh, if I need to. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Great. So now is the wreck roll. This is the big money roll.
You have two.
Yeah.
You were going to spend a stress to give her an extra die?
Yeah.
Initially?
Yeah.
Do you still want to do that?
Aw.
Yes.
Thanks,
get
Matt.
It, baby.
Four.
4 and 4. Lovely. So that is a success, but with complications.
Okay.
And the complication is that I am ticking off 2 seconds of this blue
man
clock.
Oh no, I forgot this game gives me suspense feelings.
Real dude. As he told me the devil's bargain, my heart started racing and I was like, calm down.
It's a great game for people with anxiety disorders, isn't it?
Right. It's just a game. It's for fun.
We're having fun. This is fun. This is what fun is.
This is what.
Okay, so they're coming, but success. Can we GTFO now?
Yeah. You stop the van, put down the ramp, you head around, set up a lantern, you start a very methodical and deliberate inspection of the rear wheel, sort of, you know, squat down that in a place that gives you good sight lines and at least like 3 avenues, probably 4 of approach. Boom, deliberately, like, heads right out the other side of the bridge, squats down, starts to place whatever explosive device. It does take you a little bit longer than you had hoped that it would. You essentially have to, in order for the explosives to be hidden, you first have to like chisel out some loose rock to like wedge them into. And in the time that it takes her to do that, you, Zyka, spy down the thoroughfare a pair of, no, we'll call it a trio of blue coats who are making what you would assume are their morning rounds. They haven't seen you. They don't seem to be alerted at all to anything, but they are coming. They are moving in your direction, kind of.
How far away are they now?
Oh, they're probably 60 feet.
Oh.
And through, you know, the road is, it's actually a pretty wide road, but made less so by the presence of like carts and barrows. Picture the Portobello Road scene from Bedknobs and Broomsticks, right?
Yes,
like, so it's that much narrower and sort of takes some time for them to navigate. And there's plenty of people to kind of interact with as they do. But this road comes out 20 feet from where your carriage is. And the odds are good that they'll, at that point, interact with you, even if it's just to try and help you.
Well, and I give like a little, like, you know, like, heads up whistle to you.
Oh, hang on. Time out. We got to start another clock, which you have some power over, but your explosive device is probably on a timer. I'm going to give you, Boom, the option of a 4 or 6 segment clock.
6.
Got this.
I would love to someday do the scene where I have to talk her into the 6 segment clock because she likes to smell the sulfur or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, no, Boom, we need to get as far away as possible. It's for you to watch. Yeah.
And I am ticking 1 segment of it.
So it's been set?
Oh, yeah. And I'm calling that clock Boom's Boom. We'll say that you set the the charge, you either light the fuse or turn the timer.
Whatever. Yeah, it's a timer, turn like the an egg timer. Right? But a steampunk-ass egg timer.
Like, oh, yeah. Like a
like basically just a bell attached to like a small hammer.
Perfect.
So before it blows up, we're going to hear that.
Yeah, right? So you finish that. You've just replaced like the bit of the facade of rock that you had carved out and like are getting yourself back up to your feet when you hear Zyka's whistle or signal, whatever it is, and you look over to her, nod in the direction of the blue coats. Your gaze follows her nod. You see them coming and move back to the van.
I pull out some kind of like wrench or something to make it look like I'm helping you. I need to mark that off as tinkering tools.
Yeah. Tinkering tools are never
bad. Are weapons common or illegal or what?
I had imagined the majority of weapons are not illegal, mm-hmm. but they tend to draw attention, especially.
Gotcha.
From blue coats. Cool. Sweet. So you guys come back, continue the facade and the blue coat. You guys straight up wait for the blue coats to come by.
I'm just like trying to talk to her as though, did you fix it? I'm planning to go like, you stupid.
Perfect. I want to make this a fortune roll, actually. Just roll a die, and
okay,
it'll either be good fortune or foul fortune.
Ooh,
a six! It was a six, ladies.
Oh, yeah.
The blue coats make the what is it? It's like the square, I guess. I guess it would be a roundabout.
Oh yeah,
for lack of a better term, but without the center section, right? It's just mm-hmm. so as the
intersection.
Yes, excellent. As the blue coats make the intersection, two of them just sort of give you a casual look and move right along, mm-hmm. and the third one, you know, approaches to within about 10 feet and simply asks, "Everything all right there, ladies?"
I think she finally has it repaired, eh?
Yeah, no problem. Just got to replace the bolt here.
All right, back in. Thank you, we are fine.
No problem at all, Mum. Have a good morning. And he...
Duh.
Bye, buddy.
Tips his hat to you. And he sort of saunters off to join the others, and they are on their way. As similarly are you.
Nice job.
And we drive in a different direction.
Well, if you need to get over the bridge, you better do it now. Yeah. And you guys are heading now to
hook up with the guys.
And presumably you've agreed upon a rendezvous point, and we'll deal with that later. For Wester and Lukai, you guys find that a crime scene is still very much set up, though not quite, certainly not as active as it was before, and maybe not still considered an active crime scene. It's cordoned off, but there are a fraction of the blue coats there that were the day prior, I think it was. Not that Wester would know from this, but Lukai, you were there, and they've got maybe four blue coats total kind of standing a perimeter. And at present, nobody working the scene. Do you disembark there or?
Well, what should we do, Lukai?
It looks as though this is the place. We may need a different diversion if this explosive doesn't take any of these men away from their posts.
Right. How far away are we from that diversion?
It's got to be close enough that it would make sense to for these guys to divert.
Like a block and a half away or something
like
that.
Yeah. So close. You guys are close. Mm-hmm. And To that end, we should make an engagement roll.
And what does an engagement roll define again?
So the engagement roll, essentially, when we cut to the job, not like I just did it, but we're basically going into action medias res, right? So the engagement roll is going to let us know how well or poorly things are going.
Oh, hell yeah.
When we catch up with you guys. So what kind of plan did we decide that this was?
I believe this is a transport. No, this is a deception. And our method is diversion.
Deception. Delightful. So, is this operation particularly bold or daring?
Yes, there's blue coats right around. He talks to them.
We are in the thick of it.
Right.
Is this operation overly complex or contingent on many factors?
I would say a single factor.
Yeah.
True enough. Does the plan's detail expose a vulnerability of the target or hit them where they're weakest?
I don't think so.
I agree.
That doesn't ring true.
Yeah.
Is the target strongest against this approach, or do they have particular defenses or special preparations?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Agreed.
Can any of your friends or contacts provide aid or insight for this operation? I sort of feel like they already have.
Yeah.
We've got a map.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are any enemies or rivals interfering in the operation?
No.
That's a question only you can answer.
What? I'll remind him that.
Are there other elements that you want to consider? No, I don't think Tyr really enters into this. All right. So whoever makes this roll, I feel like is going to be rolling three dice.
I can do it.
Go for it.
Three dice. Yep. Six, five, two.
Six.
Delightful. In that case, you pull the arachna ridge, the ridge, if you will.
For the cool ridge.
Up to the crime scene, you know, just far away enough to be inconspicuous. Do you engage the cloaking device as your stationary?
Well, I don't see why we shouldn't go invisible, Lukai.
Agreed.
Sweet.
Is it a button or a lever? Or
I think it's a lever. I think
it's got to be a lever.
Yeah.
It's a kettle that you turn on when the steam rises.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It fills tubes with several chemicals, and then there's a spark that ignites.
And then there's a string that swings and a boot on a pole that kicks a guy into a bucket. It's very elaborate.
When did we sell us things to just make things more complicated to use?
Yeah. Why is this here?
Yeah.
I could just push this button.
Obsessively makes Rube Goldberg machines.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh. So you guys pull up, you put on the cloaking device. It is not more than a few minutes before you hear the explosion, which draws the blue coats away like clockwork, and you guys are free to go to work. Take me through it. What's the execution of this plan?
I have this marker. I'll be I'm not entirely certain how deep this canal is, but just watch for this flag. And I have like a little pole with a tiny little flag on it that should stick up out of the water wherever I am in the canal.
How long is it?
It's got to be a 6-foot pole.
Okay, great.
Brilliant.
And just walk over to the water, survey it for a second, and then just walk right off the edge of the canal and plunk in there.
Great. Right.
Is it? I mean, I'd love to pull the arachna ridge as close to the. I mean, we're right up to the edge of the canal with the vehicle and ourselves, right? I imagine.
Yep.
All right.
And as long as the cloaking device is engaged and you are stationary, you will draw no attention.
What does it look like when the thing goes invisible? Like something straight out of Predator?
Oh, yeah. I like that.
I mean, that is certainly what I picture, maybe combined with like what heat looks like, right? On a very hot summer day coming off the asphalt or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, great.
Sweet. So you head into the water. It is dark down there. And you also discover fairly quickly, it's much deeper than you had accounted for with your flag.
Of course it is.
As indeed it would have to be, or presumably the blue coats would have found these crates much faster. Guys, we can't go in there. It's like 12 feet deep. That's like a moderately deep pool.
Whoa. Lukai is 6.5 feet tall, plus I want to say like a 3.5 foot reach. So that's 9.5 feet.
Already.
Okay, minus a half. And then holding up something that's 6 feet. So that's maybe 15 to 18 feet. Yes. Okay, but it's still not enough, which is fine.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking between 20 and 30 feet deep is this canal. Indeed, it would have to be to facilitate some of the boats that use it.
Right.
Right. But it's not as you're not as ridiculously in over your head as I had at first imagined.
Well, then I'm going to check off an unusual weapon that Boom gave me, some sort of flare gun type situation.
Yep. Wester, are you waiting inside the ridge or outside?
Yeah, I'd imagined waiting inside the ridge. And with that distraction, I mean, have all the blue cloaks in this area pretty much scattered?
Well, the only four that you had line of sight on, like it appeared that the only four that had been stationed to this crime scene took off.
Great.
And none have appeared to take their place.
Then I imagine just sitting in the driver's seat ready to go and just attentively watching the water for any sort of flag.
For the marker that he said to watch for?
Like, yeah.
Where is this thing? What the hell?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't know how to be of more use.
No, you're good. I would, however, like you to make either, I mean, what I would think is either a survey or study role to be able to successfully locate his tracking beacon, for lack of a better term.
Great. Can I do survey since I have two in that?
You may.
Wait, so how many dice do I roll?
Two. How many dots do you have in survey? Two?
Two.
You're rolling two.
Oh, so I rolled snake eyes.
No.
Isn't that especially bad, Biff?
That is not especially bad. It's just a garden variety failure.
Oh, that is.
Ooh, I'm going to make that my ringtone.
Fortunate. All right. So you are unable to locate his beacon. He goes in the water, and you're sitting in the ridge, scanning. You don't see the flag that they said would appear. You don't see anything else either. And in addition to that, I am starting a clock.
Mm-hmm.
A six segment clock. And ticking one. The title of this clock is "I Recognize That Scove from Kellen's."
Oh, no.
Because, sure enough, on the street, you see, you don't recall his name, but he was standing in the circle that you sort of interrupted when Evgeny was telling war stories. And you seem to remember he gave you sort of a shitty look at the time. Like, he did not appreciate whoever you thought you were. And now he's rounded the corner with two other presumably Scove companions. And he stopped and is scanning the area with kind of a perplexed look on his face. Like maybe he was following somebody and now doesn't understand why they're not here or where they went.
Yeah. I mean, because I can't be seen as long as I'm in this ridge, right? Necessarily what I'm doing.
And as long as you're not moving. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He approaches the canal, right? The edge of the canal.
Yeah.
Peers over, kind of looks up and down, and then sends one of his guys upstream walking and leaves another sort of posted up where he is, presumably keeping lookout, and then starts himself moving downstream, like straight for you. So eventually, he's going to run right into your invisible ridge.
Yeah.
If he doesn't know. I'm going to leave you to stew on that.
Okay.
As we revisit Lukai.
Yeah, so Lukai is, I think Lukai has lights for eyes that can be engaged.
Mm.
And so is surveying the muck and the gloom of the canal. I don't know how strong the current is, but this is a slog that they anticipated, and they are a patient being, so
yes,
they're going to go through it. What would you say this is a hunt to try to find these guns or a survey?
Yes.
Okay. What does a devil's bargain look like?
What does a devil's bargain look like? The devil's bargain is that I will begin a clock entitled Lukai is not alone.
I'll take that. That sounds all right. Amazing.
That is a 4-segment clock, which I have ticked 1.
Oh, dear. But we're controlled right now. No problem.
It's true. It's true. You are controlled. Thank you.
Okay. I have a 6 and a 1.
Delightful. It does not take you long. It is dark. It is mucky. But your chassis is more than up to the challenge of like slogging through the mucky bottom and resisting the current. And eventually, actually make me a fortune roll.
All right. I just did a little bit of reading on fortune rolls. Fortune rolls can be just 1D or they can be based on an action roll. How many
do you feel like this? If you want to make a case for this fortune roll being attached to an action, for example, what did you just do? Survey?
Or hunt, tracking down stuff.
Yeah, go ahead and link it to that and roll it up.
It's not going to matter either way because I only have a single die. It's a 2.
All right. You successfully locate a single crate that is... You would imagine that this probably has rifles in it from the shape of the box. It's long, but slender, wider than it is tall, and longer than both by 2.5 times. And it is sort of bottom third in the muck. And it appears like the seal has been compromised somewhat, but it's there. It is there. You have found it.
Yay.
Okay. I'm going to mark climbing gear and both lug this stuff out of the muck and then attach a rope to it. I think I just lug it behind me as I continue to go.
Upstream?
Yes.
Great. So you intend to walk from the first location to the second location, and when you have everything, that's when you're going to schlep it out and throw it into the ridge or whatever.
Yeah, I need to make a signal when we have more of a haul. This is okay. Not enough.
Sweet. So you begin to trudge upstream. Fabulous. I would love you to make some sort of roll to give me an impression of how what kind of time you're making.
Finesse. How do you feel about a prowess check?
Oh, yeah, I feel good about that.
I mean, I will warn you, I have 3.
Yeah, I expect dice. You to do well on it. Anything could happen.
A 6, a 4, and a 1.
6, a 4, and a 1. You're making great time. The current doesn't bother you, nor the mucky bottom, nor even the additional bulk of the crate significantly.
Excellent.
Slows you down a little bit, but we'll call that the difference between a success and a critical success, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Delightful. Back to Wester.
So I'm a little concerned that this guy's going to run right into the ridge and then alert the others. So here's what I would like to do. I'm thinking this is like a prowl. What I'd like to do, so in my mind, the ridge is parked like parallel to the edge of the canal. Yeah. So what I'd like to do is uncloak the ridge and sneak out the passenger side with the intention that like he's going to be very perplexed and want to walk on the driver's side and then prowl around the ridge and try to like knock and try to take him down quietly.
There's nothing about this that I don't love.
Great, great. Excellent.
Disengaging the cloaking device, no problem at all. Man, this sounds like it would be a prowl to me.
Well, only because I feel like also like, because I kind of feel like I'm stalking him through and seeing his movement around the ridge too, right? You know what I mean? So I'm kind of...
Good, sorry. Because I think the most important factor here is that it's quiet. So that's where I would...
Right, right. Okay, great, great.
Make it a prowl.
Great.
Cool, man.
The sun is up.
It is.
Yay! Good morning.
It's been down for hours. Good morning.
I will say, maybe the best thing about this, as much as it sucks, I love starting my day with you guys.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
What?
And I have 3 checks, so I roll 3, right? That's the rule.
That's correct. You got 3 dots?
Man. 6, 5, 2.
Hey, buddy. Look at you.
The sun's up. I rolled a 6.
You're crushing this.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
This goes so well for you.
Great.
You sort of slide into the passenger seat, maybe, before you turn off the cloaking device.
Excellent, excellent.
So that you can seamlessly click it forward as he's looking away. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, he looks back, has this totally perplexed look on his face. Like he is straight stops in his tracks, sure that there was not a vehicle there.
Yeah.
Like moments ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, you still have 5 segments on this clock, technically. So he's probably a good way away from it. And as he cautiously at first closes the distance, his hand goes to his side. He pushes his jacket away, and you can see that he's got a pistol on his hip.
Mm-hmm.
And as he moves sort of cautiously into range, he does in fact go canal side to the driver's portion. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're able to slip out the passenger side, stealth around cautiously. And yeah, how do you take him out?
If I can get up behind him, get him in like a half Nelson and like kind of choke him out.
So it sounds like you're going with non-lethal force. Is that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's, because this guy could be useful to us too. I don't know. I like that. I don't know. That says something.
Yep. And also remember that in this game, when you kill somebody, magical clockwork crows are dispatched to where the life has been taken and slowly begin to circle above and get closer and closer and closer to where the body is, because spirits, dead bodies have to be dealt with in a certain way so that the spirit doesn't leave and become a ghost, right? So that's kind of the thing that you always have to weigh when you take a life in this game. Great. Yeah, you come around behind him. We'll say you slip one hand around his throat and another slaps on the hand that he has on his pistol, right?
Yep.
You're able to leverage the choke such that he eventually abandons the gun to put both fight your arm with both his hands, and that's when you're able to finish the hold. It's a blood choke. He goes out in, 10, 12 seconds.
Great. Okay, can I, at which point can I drag him into, I'm going to drag him back into, like, the backseat of the Arachnoridge? I don't imagine, like, a four, there's, like, a...
Yeah. You totally can. I would like another roll to see if you can execute this part without either of his companions noticing you.
That's great. Ooh, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The failure means that you're not able to get him this time around into the ridge, right?
Okay.
And the consequence...
He's a bigger guy. Can't get him, like, maybe, I don't know.
Well, you know what? It's up to you. He's big and awkward, or if his clothing snags on something, or... Mm-hmm. One of his dudes who is keeping watch sees at least the ridge and someone struggling at the back of it. I guess that's where I picture this going down. Like, you've got a cargo door or double doors essentially in the back that you can load into. And I would imagine that's where you try and load him up. Someone has seen this. And the consequence is that I am going to move you from a controlled position into a risky position.
Okay.
The explosion was downstream slightly from where you guys are, but mostly I picture it being like perpendicular in its alignment to the canal. So like drawing people away literally from the canal, not just sight of the canal. And then you guys could either, Zyka and Boom would have the option, I would think, to then proceed directly to the canal and move parallel to Lukai and Wester, or to loop around to the far end of the route and start moving downstream along the route toward them.
Going parallel reminds me of like a carriage chase in an old Western.
Oh, yeah.
So we should probably pick that one.
Perfect.
Agreed. I feel like for your arrival, Zyka and Boom, I'm just going to start a clock, 6 segments.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I was really into clocks this morning.
Right? I'm trying to.
This game is really into clocks.
It's true. Yeah.
After going basically 2 sessions without ever even thinking about them.
Right.
Today is clock overkill.
Great. I'm liking it.
I'm going to start drawing your clocks, though, because the...
I know.
Oh.
Oh, the segments aren't the same size. Oh, it's killing me.
She hates it. Wester is in a risky position, and this scove is pretty rapidly approaching the ridge now. And as he gets about half the distance to the ridge, he calls out in Scove to his companion, who is quite a way down the canal now, but looks back at his buddy moving toward the ridge and starts double timing it back down the canal.
So they're essentially like sandwiching me, right?
More of a narrow pincer move than a true sandwich, if that makes sense. But you've got one coming directly at you from upstream, and another one coming at you sort of on a diag inland of the canal. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I have no, I can't have any sense of how far Lukai is into this, right?
That is correct.
I don't want to do this, but I'm afraid I'm going to do this. What I'd like to do is to try to take 2 shots at these guys and like take them out at the legs, one on each side.
I like that. It is a risky position. If you want to take them both out, I think you have 2 options. You can roll. Again, you're at a risky position. Mm-hmm. So if you roll and you get a 6, standard success, you will take 1 of them out at the leg. right, and still have to contend with the other one. If you get a critical success, two successes, you will have taken both of them out exactly as you describe. The other way is that you can push yourself by taking two stress, and then on a regular success of six, have taken both of them out.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the stress to try that.
All right, I'm going to roll two die since I have two hunt. Ooh, I got a six.
Ooh, baby. Awesome. That's
a lot of sixes tonight.
So you zero these guys coming. And if you've got a different description of this, interrupt me. But I picture you sort of dropping this dude as you realize they're coming. Have you already opened the doors, maybe? Or you've just got them around to the back when you're struggling and they zero you? Drop the dude. Open one of the doors. The rifle is right inside on the ground along the wall. Take it out. Check the scope briefly. I picture it being like a Winchester style.
Yes.
Because I would imagine also that you've got a couple of different rifles. If you're going to use for in the city, a truly long range rifle is probably more of a hindrance than a help. So this is likely your short rifle. Okay. So I picture this to be a Winchester almost style, where you sort of crank down on it to chamber the round, sort of come up, just smoothly bring the rifle up, let off a shot, knocks the guy's leg out from under him, like in mid stride.
Yeah.
Hits the ground like a bag of rocks. Bag of rocks with momentum, truth be told. And he sort of like rolls and staggers forward, clutching his leg, which is probably broken because of the size of the round.
Right.
And in half a second, ratchet the crank, turn the corner. This one takes you a little bit longer because the dude is moving and further away.
Okay.
But about two heartbeats later, you squeeze the trigger.
Yeah.
And this one goes through right at the crease where the top of the femur connects with the hip socket.
Cool.
Just kind of like you can see the spray go out the back. And he, again, goes straight down. And additionally, I am going to mark off two segments of the arrival clock for Zyka and Boom. So you guys are merely three segments away.
Just ruined that guy's day.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for listening. Keep an eye out for the next episode of The Harvestmen. If you enjoy what you've heard, please take a moment to subscribe and or give us a review. You should also feel free to visit our website at www.harvestmanpodcast.com, where you can find all sorts of cool, nerdy extras from the world of Blades. Aislina Boom Rojas is played by Joey. Lakai is played by Brent. Wester the Needle Slain is played by Michael. Zyka Nadia Minskovna is played by Steph. The Harvestman theme was composed, performed, and donated by Brad Phillips, especially for this podcast, and we are eternally grateful to him. He is truly an OG art maker. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is a creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions. Finally, we'd like to take a second to thank Ree and all the other folks at the Magpies for their exceptional work. It was their podcast that inspired our own, and if you've enjoyed any portion of what you heard here, then you must check out the Magpies at www.magpiespodcast.net or wherever your podcasts are found. Until next time. The Harvestman is an Ambling Nymph production.